Father, just thank you that we have been able to share this time now, that we've been able to come into your presence in worship, to praise you, to pray and give our thanks to you. And Lord, as Sue comes to share with us now, we pray that you would just be with her in that sharing. Help us to be open in our listening, to be blessed in our hearing, to be changed in our moving out with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sue.
That's good. Oh, it's so good to be here and to have eye-to-eye contact with all of you, because I know that you've all been praying for me and for Doug over the, well, it's nearly 3 years now, I can't believe it, when I was first diagnosed with cancer. But it's amazing the way God has guided me through it all, and it has a lot to do with your prayers. Because when we're praying for people, it draws us close to people. Did you know that? If you don't like someone, start praying for them and you'll start liking them. All right, shall we pray for Rob? Oh, it's true, though. You start praying for someone and you do get close to them, and it's important. And I feel that you have been so close to me through all this time. And then when I got this last message from the hospital that they couldn't give any more treatment because it would not be good for me, I thought, oh my goodness, now what's going to happen? But we're having visits from other people tomorrow, and we'll find out. But please do not panic, because I am in the best hands that can be in, and that's God's hands, and he's looking after me, and he's the best surgeon and the best person going, and I'm really thankful for that. But I want us, just yesterday, I was pegging out some washing on the line, Doug, wasn't I? And as I was pegging the washing on the line, it was incredible. I saw this incredible butterfly. Does anyone know the name of it? There are no prizes today. Red Admiral. Red Admiral, that's right. And that's my favorite butterfly. But then I did hear a story about a butterfly. You know how, I think it's the caterpillar that gets into a cocoon and they stay a long time. And I just imagine what that's like, trapped inside a cocoon. And there it seemed for ages. It was amazing. And suddenly this man, and I have never seen a cocoon, but this man actually saw this cocoon, and he saw something struggling from inside trying to get out. And he tried to help, and he slit the cocoon down and edged the butterfly out. But you know, that butterfly that suddenly came out, its wings were far too small, and it died very quickly. Because you see, that butterfly, through the tough time, is having some incredible things done to it. The water inside, the liquid, is moisturizing the wings so that they grow and are able to eventually, when they get out, fly like I saw it over my washing line. And that poor man who thought he was helping that butterfly actually was hindering it. But you know, that was an incredible thought to me yesterday as I was putting that washing out. I put your washing out more often. God often speaks to us then. And he says, listen, you need these long times, sudden times, in the tough times. And I know lots of you have been through tough times this year and are going through tough times and are concerned about the future. But God says, listen, you go through it with me, and I have a lot to teach you. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I learned that a lot when I was younger. My mum used to say, come on, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And when I'd fall from the top of the stairs to the bottom, she'd just pick me up with laughter and say, come on, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I was laughing in no time at all, instead of crying to get the tension. But it is important. And God has given me this passage, which is very powerful. Over the last months and years, he's grown it. He's given me other things. I love getting hold of bite-sized chunks of scripture because God continues. The passage he's given me is Romans 12. I knew it before, but it's just the first two verses right at the beginning. And I have memorized this, and there's lots of different interpretations, so I might use different words from your book. But the words are, therefore, and he's speaking, this is Paul speaking to the church in Rome, and it's God speaking through him, so he's speaking to us. Therefore, I urge you, like Rob said earlier on, my brothers and sisters, to offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him, which is your right and proper worship. I love the worship that we have led to us in the morning. But it means that we really need to be giving our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your right and proper exercise. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Do you know, I didn't know you could test and approve God's will, did you? But you know, that really excited me. Because a lot of the time in these last few months and years, I've been saying, I'm sure like lots of you say at times, where is God in all of this? What is he doing for me here? But we need to go and ask God that, to be with him when he asks these questions. Because one of the first incredible steps that helps us in getting through those tough times is this one. In that those verses up there, it says, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to present your bodies. In view of God's mercy, what is his mercy? His loving kindness. His love, the fact that he gave his sacrifice for us and died on the cross once and for all so that we could be saved. We often think about sacrifice, and when I read this first of all, I give your But give your bodies a living sacrifice. You think of the sacrifices in the Old Testament, the burning of animals, the chopping them up. And it was never enough. They had to do it again the next day. But here we have God giving his living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to us once and for all. And what he wants is for us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I don't feel very holy at times, do you? Or pleasing. It's the last thing I feel like. But you know, when God receives our offering, our sacrifice, we are holy and pleasing to God. And we have our eyes in focus. I'm going the wrong way. Eyes in focus. I love this little lad. He's really concentrating. And if you look at little children at times, they really concentrate, although they don't always understand. And certainly, the advertisements on television about having our eyes focused were incredible. I don't know whether you remember John Cleese. He'd been in an accident with all the cars crashing into him, and he went charging off to try and find this car, and he hurtled where he saw it, at least he thought it was, and he got hold of this branch and he started crashing it down on the car. He was so angry, and I can see you saw it, and suddenly the doors of the car opened and out got two policemen, and they'd come to help him, and here he was thrashing them with a branch. He needed his eyes in focus. And you know, we need our eyes in focus. And I found after my treatment, I had to go and have my eyes tested again because my eyes took the brunt of the treatment and I wasn't seeing properly. So I'm sorry if I didn't see you at the time, but I had to go and have my eyes tested again. And you know, it's not just our physical eyes we need tested. It's our spiritual eyes. Do you know, I learned such a lot in running 3 marathons. I'm sorry to say this now. I couldn't run a marathon now. But I can always remember wanting to fix my eyes on Big Ben on that first marathon. Because it was right at the end in those days, at the end of the marathon, before you went across the bridge by the Houses of Parliament. And when I saw the time, I knew I had to run fast because I wanted to break the 4.5 hours. It was such a long time, wasn't it, running? And so when I saw Big Ben, I shot across past it and onto the bridge and just got through in 4 hours, 29 minutes, 48 seconds. Not very good. That was very long. But you know, the Big Ben and the clock isn't going to do us much good in the race of life. But I tell you who is, and that's the one person who is completely perfect and yet was willing to come to this earth full of sin. He made the earth. He created our earth. He created you and me. And he wanted us to be in relationship with him. But did we? No, we made a total mess of it. And Jesus came down to run not 26.2 miles, but 33 long years. And it was tough. It was hard. And there wasn't a medal at the end. I've got 3 medals at home. Wasn't a medal at the end for Jesus. There was a cross. And it was really tough. And yet we read in Hebrews, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And it goes on to say, and I love this bit, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, when we're going through tough times, we do get weary. We do lose heart. And we want to just give up. We've had enough. But God says here, I have the same endurance that got me through the cross. I have the same perseverance that got me through 33 years of persecution, of misunderstanding. I got through it all for you so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's so important. So remember that passage. I'm still going to be using it in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But link with it, Hebrews. It gets you through a marathon if everyone wants to run a marathon. It's really good. But we need to, if we need to get our eyes in focus, that's important, but we need to get our bodies in focus. We need to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, not to be burnt, not to be torn up, not to be burnt the next day. It's a living sacrifice. It's giving ourselves completely to God, even when we feel a little bit, oh, I don't know that I can go through with this. God wants to go through it with you. He loves you. Like this little lad, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's got his strong arms there. And it's so important to realize that, because you realize that our God is a team person. Do you know, I'm so thankful for that, because me being in sport and everything, I love teams. I love the differences in us all. We're not the same. So we shouldn't criticize and jump on people. We should realize that we need them. And not only do we need God, people often say, you need God. You need to have God in your life. Yes, we need him in our lives. But he needs us, would you believe it? He needs you. Do you know, he needed me when my maths teacher told me I was fit for nothing but to play games. And it was true. I was. That's all I'd concentrated on. I loved sport and I lived for it. And as a result, I had neglected all the tough subjects that I'd need if I was going to teach it. And I just escaped to the underground cloakroom, as I've told you before, and cried my eyes out. And I did know God in those days. I'd invited him into my life, but I only went to him when I was in trouble. But this was trouble. So I said, God, if that's all I'm here for, if I'm fit for nothing but to play games, I didn't actually remember giving it to him, but I tell you, he took it. Because the way he has used it ever since, you might think you've got something that's useless in your life. Don't ever do that, because he can always use it. because it was just a short time. This is a long time ago. This is dating me before Keep Fit hit the country. And suddenly, with Keep Fit hitting the country, I was being invited to all sorts of things. Where would you do a little bit of Keep Fit before you speak? And it meant it drew people close to me. You weren't a distant speaker. You were a fun person. And you could share. It even got me into prisons, which I've shared before. And they did let me out again. But and I went to prisons and they said, would you do a God slot for an hour? And I said, oh, my goodness. Would you like a little bit of Keep Fit? They said, you can do what you like. And I tell you, everyone relaxed doing the fun Keep Fit and the music, which had spiritual message in it. And so much so that when I came to sharing spiritual fitness, they were listening. They were asking questions. They didn't realize you had to keep fit all round, because Jesus is the all-round person. He's the one true Keep Fit person. It says in Scripture, as he grew up, he grew in all wisdom, mental fitness, and stature, physical fitness, and in favor with God, spiritual fitness, and man, social fitness. Wow, do we need that? And God wants to do that in us. And he wants us to get our eyes in focus, to get our bodies in focus, and to give them to him, and also to get our minds in focus. At the end of this passage in Romans 1 and 2, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It actually says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you know you could have a mind renewed? Only God can do that. Because quite honestly, these days, as we watch the news and read the newspapers, we sink into our pool of, you know, desperation. We think, how can it go on like this? And you can understand why people do say, where is God in all of this, even if they don't know him? But I do know that God is there. He's behind the scenes working. I've seen in so many ways, because the way I also test and approve God's will is I write it down when I'm going through the tough times. I write it down and I date it. And sometimes I go back to those times and I realize what I've been through and what God has taught me through it. And it helps me with the tough thing I'm going through now. God's will in focus. And we need to get alongside him and constantly offer our bodies a living sacrifice. Constantly get our eyes in focus with him. He'll help us. And constantly get our mind in focus, that he will clean and multiply it. We so often look at our television and the bad news. We just have to look at that and we feel bad. And it's tough. But God says, God's will in focus, then you will be able to test and approve. I like to say it over and over again, because I've got a memory like a sieve, and the only way the word of God can dwell in me richly, like it says in Colossians, is to say things over and over again until they are right there and not moving from it. So let's get our butterfly. That's right. We were saying how the butterfly needs that time, that tough time, that cocoon time, where it must have been painful. I haven't been able to speak to them when they've been in there. What's the name of what goes in there before they become a butterfly? Chrysalis, but also it's in a cocoon, and it must be tough. And yet they come up so beautiful. And God says, I want to do beautiful things in your lives, even in the tough times. Work through it with me. And I want us now, just for a while, to be quiet. We'll keep that up on our, if it helps you with your photograph. And if you're going through a tough time, or if you're concerned about the future, or something in the past keeps on coming back, like my teacher saying, you're fit for nothing, I want you to lay it before God, because it's no good hanging on to it. God wants to deal with it. So let's just be quiet for a while before I use this passage of Scripture as a powerful prayer for each one of us. Let's just be quiet. Father, I want to thank you so much for the fact that you love us so much that you left the comfort of your Father's home to come to this world which was so wrecked by sin, Father, and to see the people you long to be in relationship with. And we were all so sinful, Father. Thank you so much for coming down. You're such a great and mighty God. You're no longer a distant God. You come right beside us. Thank you so much. And I pray you will help us to keep into focus, to have our eyes in focus, not on the things that go on in the world. Yes, we can pray through the news, but Father, help us to fix our eyes on you and all the things you went through and the perseverance you went through. You even cried out to your Father and said, I can't go through with this just shortly before you died. Take this cup from me. But if this is the only way through to my joy of being united with my creation, we'll do it together. Father, thank you for this terrific example. And I pray that we will keep our eyes in focus on you daily, hourly, and in view of all that you do for us, Father. And I pray you will show us clearly how we can offer our bodies a living sacrifice, again, daily and hourly. Father, we might have done it a long time ago. We might not have done it yet, and we need to do it today. Father, we want to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you, which is our right and proper worship. And then, Father, I definitely need my mind in focus. With all that's going on in our world and all that's happened to me in the last year or so, and also all that's happened to a number of people here that has been so tough, Father, I pray that you will renew my mind and as a result will help us to understand, to test and approve what your God's will is, what your will is and what you're doing. And for us to be happy, although we can't see the bigger picture, you always can. And we offer ourselves afresh and anew now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.